A psychology professor was leading her students through a review of material that they had covered about some of the principal mental issues that we encounter in our culture and that they would encounter in their future practices. By way of review, she was giving hypothetical examples. If you encounter a client who exhibits these certain behaviors, what would be your diagnosis? So with one of her hypotheticals, she said, imagine a man who's standing up and screaming at the top of his lungs in one moment, and in the next moment, he's sitting in his chair, weeping uncontrollably, his head in his hands. What would you say about him? Of course, the most obvious diagnosis would be manic depression. But instead, a sports-minded student raised his hand and said, oh, I know, I think I know. He's probably a basketball coach. During this season of March Madness, we're seeing a lot of that. Coaches can be really intense. Did you see the Texas Tech coach last night? Really intense. Every single one of us needs somebody like that in our lives. Somebody who, like a good coach, in a good way, can get in our face and say, you've got more to give. I can see it in you. You've got levels of greatness that you've never even begun to imagine. Come on, you can do this. Give me more. Have you ever had a coach or teacher or a mentor who's played that role in your life? We're in the midst of a sermon series called Experiencing Jesus at a Deeper Level. So far in this series, we've spoken mostly about what I would call the gentle side of Jesus. Jesus is the one who delights in us as human beings. Jesus as the one who weeps when we weep. Jesus is the one who pours out grace on us, and all of that is true. But if we really want to know Jesus in his fullness, who he was, who he is, we also have to be willing to take a look at that side of Jesus that was really intense. Like a wonderful, tough coach determined to draw the best out of us. So today, we're going to focus on two places in the Gospels where Jesus does that. Two passages where Jesus talks to us in a way that's very challenging, demanding even. Are you ready for this? Let's start with a prayer. Jesus, we don't want you to sugarcoat it. We want the truth. We can stand the truth because we know the truth will make us free and stronger. So bring it on. Speak, Lord. We're listening. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You were put here on earth to make a contribution. You weren't created just to consume resources, to eat, breathe, and take up space. God designed you to make a difference with your life. While many best-selling books offer advice on how to get the most out of life, that is not the reason God made you. You were created to add to life on earth, not just take from it. God wants you to give something back. You were created to serve God. Those are the words of Rick Warren in his famous book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And that, in essence, is the same point that Jesus is trying to drive home for us in the gospel passage from Luke 17 that you heard read just a few moments ago. In that parable in Luke 17, Jesus speaks to his listeners from a context, a perspective, a situation that was very commonplace in the ancient world. He drew a story from the experience of slavery in the ancient world, a pervasive institution. Many of Jesus' listeners would have themselves been slaves, and those who weren't still had seen that institution up close and personal. So from drawing from that common experience, Jesus tells a story about a slave who was out in the fields working his finger to the bone all day. He comes home at the end of the day, and when he walks into the house, he is startled when the master says to him, "Sit down, take a load off, kick back. I have prepared a wonderful meal for you that I want you to enjoy." At which point, Jesus' listeners would have been laughing because they knew that's not how it works. Then Jesus turns it around, goes back, and tells the story the way it would have happened. So this servant who has been out in the field all day, working his finger to the bone, comes into the house, and the master says, "Before you focus on yourself and relax, you first need to prepare and serve my meal." And that then brings Jesus to his principal teaching point. Luke chapter 17, verse 10, "So you also," Jesus says, "when you've done everything you were told to do by God, you should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. I don't deserve a merit badge. I just did what I was supposed to. I served.'" You see, Jesus is using this parable, I think, to warn us about allowing ourselves to fall into an entitlement mentality in life. An attitude that says, "God exists to serve me. It's all about me." True story. A dad takes his young daughter, Amy, to the circus for the first time. As they walk in to the arena, they stop and buy some peanuts and Cracker Jacks, find their seat. As Amy's eating through her Cracker Jacks, dad looks in the box and pulls out the surprise ring that's inside, puts it on her finger. Amy is feeling like such a princess. Then dad points to the three rings in front of them and says, "Watch." The music begins to play, and all kinds of exotic animals are parading before her, and then acrobats who are doing incredible acrobatic tricks. Amy squeals with delight, then grows very quiet. "What is it, Amy?" her dad says. She says, "Daddy, all this just for me?" It's so easy for us in life to slip into that way of thinking. It's all about me. God exists to serve me. Now, mind you, God does want us to have and to experience good things. Jesus himself specifically affirms that elsewhere in the gospel. But that is not the primary purpose for which you have been put here. You have been put here by God Almighty to make a difference. What you do with your life matters. George Bernard Shaw once put it this way: "This is the true joy of life, being used up for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, being a force of nature, instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy." Talk about a good coach getting in our face. Here's George Bernard Shaw getting in our face and saying, you don't want to live your life like a victim. You don't want to live your life like a constant complainer and whiner that life isn't and people aren't treating you right. Here's George Bernard Shaw saying, God created you and put you here to be a force of nature, a champion, an overcomer. Several years ago, a Final Four coach, I forget which one, was asked, what is the secret of the success of your team? He responded by saying, our team has a motto: good people do for themselves, great people do for others. You were meant to be great. James L. Dickey, in his classic poem, The Strength of the Fields, cries out at one point in the poem, Lord, let me shake with purpose. You're not here just to suck up oxygen and burn up resources. God has put you here to be a difference maker. Several weeks ago, I saw a story about a guy named Luke Mickelson, who was last year nominated to be one of CNN's top 10 heroes of the year. As you're probably aware, every year CNN identifies ordinary people who are making an unusual difference in simple, unassuming ways. Luke Mickelson's story is so compelling. Take a look. Isn't that cool? Did you catch what he said when he learned that there were kids in his community sleeping on the floor? He said, "No kid is going to sleep on the floor in my town if I have anything to do with it." That's the spirit that we're all in this together, that God has put us here to serve each other through the power of God inside of us. I also noticed something else he said interesting in that clip. He said, "You want real joy? Stop looking at yourself and see how you can help somebody else. Lord, let me shake with purpose." Don't misunderstand. The point is not that all of us are supposed to now quit our jobs and go work for nonprofits. Some of us may be called in that direction, but there are so many opportunities to serve profoundly in the ordinary course of life. Some of us are called to serve in ways that bless many people, multitudes of people in small ways. Others of us are called to serve in ways that bless just a handful of people in profoundly deep ways. Some of us are called to go wide and bless many people in small ways. Some of us are called to go deep and bless just a few people in profound ways. But all of us are called to serve. And life serves up those opportunities on a natural basis. About 10 years ago, one of my nieces, Jackie, headed off to Arizona State University. She, my sister, brother-in-law, live in Annapolis, Maryland, so she was going all the way across the country to go to school. Can you imagine what an exciting time that was in her life as she launches out in life on her own, independent, becoming a young adult? But it was during her freshman year at Arizona State University that my brother-in-law Bobby's ALS became critical. And it looked like he had only maybe a year or two left. Jackie loved Bobby like a rock. They were very close. One night on the phone, Jackie says to my sister, "I've been thinking about this. I think I'm going to leave school and come home so I can be there and help you with Dad." Laurie's initial response and Bobby's response too was, no, your education is too important. You need to get on with your life. We've got things taken care of here." In the back and forth conversation around that, one night my sister called me and said, told me what Jackie was proposing to do, and she said, "What do you think?" I thought about it and I said, "You know what? If Jackie decides to do this, she will never regret it for the rest of her life. In fact, looking back, she'll probably see this next year or two as some of the most beautiful, deep, and profound experiences in her entire life. And if she doesn't do it, if you don't let her do it, she'll probably regret it for the rest of her life." So Laurie and Bobby said, "Okay, you can come home." And for those last couple years of Bobby's life, Jackie was there, loving him. She was his feet, his hands, literally. She fed him. She helped move him. She was there to keep him company. She became his Mother Teresa. Holy, holy. And no matter what she does or doesn't do for the rest of her life, she is already a superstar in the eyes of Jesus Christ, because when the need was there, she responded with a heart of service. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, so Jesus calls us, following in his footsteps, to live our lives in the same way. Lord, let my life shake with purpose. Help me to realize that I am here to be a difference maker, to be a force of nature. Three elderly sisters in their elder years were living together, supporting each other in their old age. One evening, one of the three sisters, Agnes, makes her way upstairs and fills the tub with bathwater. She steps into the tub, stops, and calls out to her sister Florence downstairs. Florence, she says, I can't remember, was I getting in the tub or was I getting out? Florence says, wait a second, I'll come upstairs and help you figure it out. When Florence gets to the top of the stairs, she stops, calls to the third sister sitting downstairs at the dinner table, sipping some tea. Opal, she says, was I going up the stairs or coming down? Opal, sitting at the dinner table, shakes her head and says, I hope I never get that forgetful, and then knocks on wood. She says, Florence, I'll be right up to help you figure it out, but first I need to see who's at the front door. Knock on wood. It's so easy to fall into that trap, forgetting who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. So like a great coach, Jesus is in our face today saying, we are here to serve. Your life is meant to make a difference. You're meant to be a force of nature. You're not here just to suck up oxygen and burn up resources. What you do with your life matters. So say it with me this morning. I am a difference maker. Say it with me. I am here to serve in profoundly important ways. And if all of that is true, it brings us to the other tough thing Jesus said that I want us to look at today, found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. There, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now the really tough thing. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. Whoa, Jesus, that's kind of intense, right? I mean, think about it. Is there anybody here who's ever lusted after a woman? If so, raise your hand. Go ahead, be honest. Is there anybody? Actually, I can honestly say that I have never lusted after a woman.
Amen, brother.
So I'm feeling pretty holy today, right? But for those of you who aren't so holy, I brought my saw with me today so that you can live fully into the teachings of Jesus. Now, I know it's a little rusty, but it'll do the trick. Are there any volunteers? Who wants to be first? I mean, what was Jesus thinking? Was he crazy? Obviously, Jesus was speaking metaphorically and not literally. Not one of Jesus' disciples ever cut off their hand or plucked out their eye, nor did Jesus expect them to do so. Instead, Jesus was looking for a way to make this point in as dramatic and memorable a way as possible in a way that he hoped that they and we will never forget. The point that Jesus is trying to make here is, if there is something that is holding you back from being your best as a servant of the living God in this world, then cut it out and cut it off. Pluck it out. Imagine an athlete who spends hours in the gym doing strength and agility training, who has enormous athletic potential, but every night for dinner, she eats a bag of potato chips. So her coach gets in her face and says, Belinda, you have so much potential and you're putting so much work into this, but everything you're doing in the gym will all be for naught if you don't stop eating potato chips for dinner every night. Cut it out! That's what Jesus is saying to us today. What is it in your life that stands between you and you being your best as a super servant of the living God? Because we all got something. Several years ago, I heard a really compelling sermon by Reverend Nadia Bolz-Weber, who is a well-known Lutheran preacher and author. Nadia is a recovering alcoholic, 27 years sober. In a sermon on the subject that we're talking about today, she shared a little bit about what her struggle with alcoholism was like. She says, boy, do I remember that feeling of powerlessness that comes from not being able to control your drinking. I'd wake up each morning and have a little talk with myself. Okay, Nadia, get it together. Today has got to be different. You just need a little willpower. Then, inevitably, later that day, she says, I'd say to myself, well, just one drink would be okay. Or I'll drink wine and not vodka. Or I'll drink a glass of water between each drink so that I won't get drunk. Sometimes it worked, she said, but mostly it didn't. In the end, my will was never quite strong enough. She goes on to describe what it was like at that moment when she decided that come hell or high water, she had to get sober and she was going to do it. She says, alcohol had become so precious to me. It felt like Jesus was asking me to cut off my hand, literally. In fact, she says, literally, I would have rather cut off my hand than give up alcohol. But intuitively, she sensed that she could never live into her full God-given potential if she didn't make the painful decision to deal with this issue in her life. So she cut it out, and it was hell. But because of that, she was able to go on and blossom and realize her spiritual potential and become this hugely influential preacher and author who is blessing and serving so many people in powerful spiritual ways. It was worth the sacrifice. That's the point Jesus is trying to make to us in Matthew chapter 5 today. What is it that is holding you back from becoming fully who God created you to be? We all have something. Nadia goes on to say, on some level, she says, I feel like we recovering alcoholics and drug addicts have it easy. I mean, our addictions are so obvious. The emotional, spiritual, physical wreckage caused by alcoholism and drug addiction has a certain conspicuousness to it. But the truth is, she says, it's not just us drunks who wake up in the morning and say, today has got to be different. Perhaps some of you have done some of that self-talk recently. Perhaps some of you have tried to garner just a little more willpower. Today, I won't eat compulsively. I'll not yell at my kids. I'll not spend money I don't have on things I don't need. Today, unlike yesterday, I won't consume pornography or flirt with my married coworker or look up my ex-boyfriend on Facebook. Today, I'll finally stand up for myself. Today, I'll not play video games. Today, I'll really look for a job. Today, I will not lie to myself. Today, I'll start meditating or become a vegan or start training for a marathon or go back to college or go to the container store so I can organize my closet. We've all got something. What is it that's holding you back, keeping you from becoming the super servant for the living God that you were meant to be? Like a great coach, Jesus is in your face today saying, you can do this. Your life means too much to let it be limited by this thing that is holding you back. You are here to make a difference. Come on, I know you can do it. To which you may say, I can't. I have tried, and I have tried, and I can't. It's bigger than me, whatever it is. If that's where you find yourself, then as we close today, I want you to pay close attention and be reminded of an epic scene from a classic movie, The Empire Strikes Back, that has an important message for us today that Jesus would approve. Watch this. You are Luke Skywalker. Jesus. He said, I wish. Don't make me get my saw out, all right? You are Luke Skywalker, and Jesus is Yoda. In our own strength, we can't do it. Alcohol has too much a hold on me. I can't possibly give it up. My anger is so woven into the fabric of my life, I don't think I could live without it. I can't forgive my enemy. That would be like cutting my hand off. I can't do it. Yes, you can. Or, correction, it would be more accurate to say you can't. But through the power of the force that is in you, the power of the risen Christ, you can do it. You say, I don't believe it. Jesus says, that is why you fail. You can do this. We can become all that we were meant to be. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Philippians 4:13. So just do it. Get her done. We have the capacity to grow into the fullness of the dream that God had for us when we were created to become super servants in the service of the living God. Don't miss your destiny.